Well, praise the Lord. Good to see all that are able to be here this morning. I know we do have some traveling, but the Lord is faithful. Well, I had some thoughts earlier in the week as my Bible reading these days is in the New Testament, in the Gospels in particular. And I found it interesting on Wednesday night some of the comments that were made about faith. They were just about exactly what I've been thinking about, and I just sort of listened. But, you know, several occasions, Jesus was going around with his disciples, his followers. These were people who obviously believed in him. They believed in him enough to leave everything behind and follow him, didn't they? And they were learning from him. But there were several particular situations when they would get in an unexpected to them situation, and they would react very differently from Jesus, and Jesus would look at them and say, "Where is your faith?" Or, you know, something, you know, "O ye of little faith." In several particular instances, he said that. And, you know, as I was reading that, I'm so glad Jesus didn't say, "You have no faith." But it reminded me of the simple fact that God wants us to grow in our faith, that we don't necessarily, just because we have faith, up to a certain point, God wants us to grow in that and to get to the point where we can believe him in a variety of situations that we haven't maybe faced before. I don't have to remind you of something we pointed out so often of where the world is headed. And we see a world that is drinking in the lies that have flowing out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan. And it's because they don't want to let their lives go and surrender and believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so when he takes his hand off, there's nothing to stop the devil from coming in and totally deceiving people. So they think they're in charge. They think they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're actually heading for destruction. And as we see society and our culture being more and more taken over by that, we're going to need the Lord more than we've been used to. And I'll guarantee you that I'm not the only one facing difficulties and situations that we didn't plan on, that we need the Lord. And we need to have a faith that goes beyond, well, I believe this and I believe that, and so we come to church and assert those beliefs. But if faith doesn't make a difference in our lives, what difference, what good is it to say, "I believe this"? You know, I've used the illustration in the past in different contexts of somebody who finds themselves on an island that is headed for destruction, and they understand it and they believe it, and there's one bridge that leads off of that island to a place of safety. Now, what good is it to stand there and point to that bridge and say, "I believe in that bridge," and just keep standing there and not actually cross the bridge? You know, James wrote quite a bit on the subject of faith without works is dead. Now, we're not saved by our works, but we're not saved by just a mental assent to certain ideas, are we? God saves people who not only put their faith in him, but who step out and actually execute that faith in our lives. And I believe, again, I'm not the only one where God is calling us to believe him in situations that are uncomfortable, that we didn't ask for. But I'll tell you, we serve a God who literally brings us the way that he does so that we can grow in our faith. And I want to. I need that. God has to put me in the deep end of the pool sometimes and say, "Now what are you going to do?" And I realize I have no answer. I have no strength. I can't rely upon me. But think about what God has called us to. Has he called us to a life of, I've given you natural abilities, I've given you a mind to figure things out, I've given you this, I've given you that, just so go live your life and just be a good person? There's more to it than that. We are living in a world that is absolutely devoted to self and lives in rebellion against God. And God has called us to a supernatural kingdom. And I don't have what it takes to live in that. And the easiest thing in the world is simply for us to go through our daily lives and figure, "I can handle this, I can handle that." and just think of things in a natural sense. Folks, we don't just live in a visible natural world, do we? And we need to remember that. We need to realize that we live in a, we don't wrestle, as we said so often, against flesh and blood. Now, was Paul just saying that as a doctrinal issue? Or was he saying that as a real practical issue? Obviously, he was. He meant for us to have this as part of our worldview, where we realize the world that I live in is not simply composed of what I see and circumstances that I have learned how to handle this and how to handle that, and I'm good, and I just thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. My God, how easy is it in a place like America, what America has been, to just go to sleep and live in a realm of natural ability and habit? And God, if God hasn't shaken up your world, he will, if you're his. I need my world shaken up. I need him to take me further than I have been. I need him to do what Jesus was doing with his disciples. He was allowing them to be in situations where suddenly their natural resources weren't getting it. They didn't have what they needed, did they? You know, one of those was the time when he said, let's go to the other side. You compare the different accounts of that, and you can really put the story together. Jesus had finished performing miracles. You don't commit miracles. But anyway, he had just finished teaching the crowds. They had seen miracles. Obviously, there was a faith in them to follow him, wasn't there? And he had said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, now, we're going to go out in the middle of the lake and have a storm and drown. And so, don't we need, when the Lord says something, to go by what he says? Yeah. And the Lord will put us in situations where that's the conflict that we see. Is what God says is one thing, and, you know, what the circumstances are is another. And so there they were. And he had said, let's go to the other side. So they get out in the middle, and a storm comes up. Now, was that storm just an accident? Do you not know that the devil has power to create weather? Didn't he do that in Job's case? Yeah. There was a whirlwind when the Lord turned the devil loose to try Job. One of the things that happened was a whirlwind came up. There were literal forces of nature that he is able to stir up. I remember, I have heard over my lifetime more than one account of something of nature coming up that seems to attack some of God's people in some way. And I've heard of more than one instance where someone actually literally commanded that storm to stop, or that rain to stop or something, and it did. Now, I don't think that means every time it rains we can go out and say, stop it, you know. It's not something just for, you know, human. God doesn't give us faith just to use for our benefit and without a part, you know, apart from his will. But I'll tell you, there are circumstances where we need to be able to recognize the source of what's happening and look to the Lord and be able to see beyond, not just to see beyond the circumstances, see the devil, but to see beyond the devil and see the Lord. And to realize that he has allowed something to happen for a reason, and it's for our good, and it's to teach us and to bring us. I'll guarantee the disciples who came through this circumstance had a deeper view of him and a deeper view of faith than they did before they went through it, didn't they? Suppose they just had a calm, nice trip across and everything had been great. But the devil knew where Jesus was headed. He had a sense that something was going on here. I better stop it. And he did what he could. He raised that storm. And Jesus was just asleep. You know the story. And you know how the disciples were scared to death and woke him up. So, oh, ye of little faith, why are you afraid? I wonder if the Lord would say that to us this morning about this or about that. And there are circumstances you're worried about and you're concerned about. And our reaction is to be afraid and to focus all of our attention not on the Lord and his purposes and trusting him and looking to him for the wisdom that we need, but rather, oh God, what if this happens? What about that? What about that? You know, 1,001 little big things in our minds that the devil would use through circumstances. But I pray that God will bring us to everything that is of His choosing to help us to learn how to grow in faith. And, of course, there were other instances, but you get the picture here. Jesus was pointing out the fact that, yeah, you've got faith, but right now it's not much. And God was going to bring them to a place where these same men who didn't have faith later on in their lives laid down their lives for the faith, didn't they? I believe God is going to bring His people to a place where we can stand in an hour like this, and we will not just look at circumstances and be dismayed by them, or think, I can fix that if I just do this and I do that. But instead, look to the Lord and say, Lord, You have allowed this storm, and I am trusting in You, and I know that Your purpose is the one that's going to prevail. Lord, if it's for me to lay down my life and with a testimony of praise to You on my lips, then my life is Yours. Because I know what lies beyond. I know that this is not the end. This is just a way station. We're passing through. Well, I'll tell you, only God can give that ability. And that's, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord to guide the thoughts here this morning, because once again, I don't have this sermonized, but you know, I'm hoping you're glad that it isn't, because we never need my sermon. We always need His message. And, you know, I think it's probably profitable to look for a moment at faith itself, and just review the things that we know. What is faith, really? You know, you look at Hebrews 11:1, and you get God's simple definition of what faith is. And I like the way, like this particular translation here. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's something that absolutely is on the inside of a person that gives them a supernatural ability to know things that cannot be known by the natural man. You remember what Paul said? The natural man does not know the things of God, does he? The smartest man cannot figure out God's plan, cannot reason it all out. It has to be God revealing something to the heart and imparting to you and to me an ability to know things that cannot be known apart from Him. To know that they're real. You know, a lot of people think faith is just something that I just make up my mind. I'm just going to believe it. Oh boy, I'm going to believe it. And it's just like a blind assertion of faith in something that just makes me feel better. Gives meaning to life or something on that, but it's entirely on a natural level. My God, I was not born with faith. Is anybody here was born into Adam's family with faith? I wasn't either. But I'll tell you, faith is the gift of God, isn't it? And we read that, by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I'll tell you, God has a way of imparting to a heart a power to believe in Him. And the exercise of that faith is the most critical thing in the world. We sang the song, it's worth everything to be born again. Folks, this world is full of people who simply don't know what I'm talking about this morning. Their entire world is focused on their flesh and pleasing themselves in this world and trying to save the planet and the 1,001 things that we've talked about so many times. But God has called a people and is calling a people out of this present world, and He does it by revealing His Word to the heart. And every time He finds a willing heart, there's something that happens. Folks, there's a point in time when God wants people to come to a place where they let go and let God have their lives. I mean, didn't Jesus say to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not a bunch of buildings or an earthly organization. It's a reality. It is as real as the kingdom of darkness is real, but it's far above that. Praise God. There is a real kingdom right now that we can look past everything that's happening in this world and know that God is on his throne. Jesus has authority over everything that happens on this planet. And we have been called to that, called to his kingdom for such a time as this. May God help us. But if there's someone who's listening to this and you're not sure, I just pray that God will make this real, but when he does it, you'll open your heart and you realize what he has given you through Jesus Christ. You realize what he did to take someone who is absolutely helpless to do anything for themselves. Helpless to come back into a relationship with God. And the very one who spoke the stars into existence came down and gave his life so that you and I could be free. All of the guilt. You know, before somebody's going to come to the new birth, they got to know they need it. And that's the starting point for God to convict a heart of their sinfulness, their unworthiness of the kingdom of God. I can't possibly attain to that. I'm not worthy of it. I have no way to lay hold of that. I have no way to get rid of the guilt that has separated me from a holy God. But Jesus came down and assumed your guilt. It's as though he said to his Father, charge me. I will go to the cross that they deserve. I, the creator of the universe, will go to a wooden cross in humiliation and pain and bear your sins. And I will be placed in a grave. It signifies the end of a life. But I'm not going to stay in that grave. Praise God. There's a life beyond what this world knows about. There's a life, the very life of God that he longs to share with people who will open their hearts to him. He has the power to change a heart and change a life. He has the power not just to wipe away the guilt of sins, but to give you a new heart and a new life. Praise God. Oh, the key to it all is in the response of the sinner. Do we cling to our sins and duck and dodge and try to bargain with God, or we just say, Lord, I surrender. Come into my heart, my Lord, my life. I lay it all at your feet and give myself to you. That's salvation, because when he comes in, that's the only power you and I will ever have. And then, of course, we learn to live. And you know the scripture says that the just shall live by what? By faith. This principle of trusting God with our lives and looking to him has to become the guiding principle of our lives. But I think I started to point out a while ago that faith, according to James, is not just something where we say we believe this and that's good enough. Faith has to take action. And God is going to put us, every one of us, in situations where the circumstances will dictate this and suggest that this is the case and that's it and you got to deal with it. And God will be over here saying, no, I am God and I'm in charge and you need to look to me. I have the wisdom, I have the strength, I have all that you need. And the question is, which are we going to go by? Are we going to sit there and listen? You know, we sing the song, Listen to the Devil. We sing the song about, what is it, victory? We will cry victory when the circumstances say no. I wonder how many are in places right now where the circumstances are just telling you one thing, and that's this is how it's going to be, and it's bad, and so on, and on and on and on. But I'll tell you, there's a God who is going to put you in that circumstance, not to discourage, but to absolutely cause us to come to a place where we learn to look away, we learn to look to him, we learn to cast that burden. We talked about some of those things last week, the humble place that we need to take, but it also involves an action, doesn't it? Faith without works is dead, being alone. What good is it to say that I believe, but it never is translated into action? God just doesn't want us to come in here on Sunday morning and sing nice songs and declare our faith. He does that, does want that. But this has to be translated into what we do this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and the next day in the battles that God places before us, because He will place them. He is going to bring us. If He's going to have a people that are able to stand in this hour, we're going to have to learn on the field of battle how to stand, aren't we? We're going to have a faith that is ready to stand in this battle and that battle and the other one and stand on behalf of one another too. You know, part of what we read in 1 Peter 5 has to do with resisting or being alert for the devil and so forth. He wants to go around and eat people, basically. Whom resist, firm in the faith, steadfast in the faith, depending on the translation. There has to come a place where we not only recognize what's going on, but we are standing and we're saying, no, devil, I don't believe you. I believe God. I am trusting my life into His hands. His purpose is the one that is going to prevail in this circumstance. If the Lord allows you to kill me, praise God, I know where I'm going. Because Jesus has already taken hold of my life. He's given me a life that you can't kill. All the forces of hell tried to keep Him in that grave. And not one of them could prevail. He came forth and the devils ran screaming. They stopped their three-day party and they went screaming into the night. My God, it's all over. What looked to be our greatest final victory turns out to be our absolute defeat. Thank God for what happened at the cross and the resurrection. The battle was won. Satan was paraded in defeat. But God wants everyone here to know that the same power that brought Jesus out from the dead is the power that He operates in our lives through. It's the one that He offers to us so that we can share in what He has given to us. I don't have it in myself. God has lots of ways to show me that, to remind me of that. Does He not with you as well? Do we not come regularly to a place where we suddenly see what's lacking in us? I'm so glad God is faithful. I'm so glad He wants to take me to a better place where faith is stronger. What a wonderful thing it was for Jesus, the example, to go through His day looking to His Father, walking with Him, seeking His wisdom, always letting His Father know, I'm here to do Your will, not mine. I don't know what to do, Lord. Father, show me what to do. And acting on that and believing that the God who gave him that wisdom and that direction was going to make it happen. And it didn't matter what the devil threw at him. He was going to go and just do it and be at rest in peace. Wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of a rest and a confidence in our heart? I need that. And as I say, God is going to give us circumstances that will absolutely bring that to pass in our hearts. There's so many things that could be said, and I'm just looking to the Lord as to where the focus needs to be. But obviously, faith is first of all, it has to be there. If you have opened your heart and Christ has come in, you've got faith. The problem is that we don't live by that faith to the degree that we need to. And God, like I say, is going to bring us into circumstances where we're going to have a choice. You know, we had a message, I forget how many, just a few years ago now, called Facts Versus Faith. You remember that? And how many times God will bring you to a situation, and it has brought His people to situations where the facts are clear. If you go by every earthly indication, there is no possible answer for that situation. But then God says something different. Now, which are we going to go by, the facts or the faith? Abraham was brought to that place, wasn't he? He was brought to a place where there was no possible answer, no possible way on a human level that God's promise could be fulfilled. His wife was 90 years old, long past the age of childbearing. Abraham himself was, what, 199, something like that? And there they were, and yet God said, I'm going to come in a year, you're going to have a son. That's the one that I'm looking for. What did he do? Which did he go by? Every earthly consideration, the facts of the matter dictated this cannot happen. But God said. Do you not know, do we not know that God can do anything? God's not limited. I'll tell you, whatever he declares out of his mouth, it's going to happen. You know, I had this picture of the Lord at the beginning saying, let there be light. Whoops, that didn't work. Let me see if I... Maybe I didn't hold my mouth right. Let there be light. No. Do you think that's how it is with God? He is all powerful. When he says something, it happens. I want to be one of those that says, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. If we're sensitive to him, I'm not talking about trying to use God to make my earthly life better. I'm talking about that place of humility where I'm in his hands and I want his plan. I want his will. I'm committed to that. When I ask for wisdom, I'm committed to that wisdom before I know what it is. I mean, how can we say we have faith in him if we're waiting on him to, as we say, lay his cards on the table and then we decide? We're just saying, I'm my own God. Let's negotiate. There ain't no negotiating. I'll tell you, if we really trust in him and put our faith in him, everything is laid on the line and we say, God, just tell me what to do. And by faith, I'm going to step out. I'm not going to just sit here and say, I believe. I'm not going to stew in my mind with all the fear and all the anxiety and all the earthly figuring. I'm just going to say, God, you do what you're going to do. You are on the throne, and I am trusting in you. I thought of this in one sense. So many scriptures that and examples that God has given us in the Word that bear on this. Obviously, one of them is David and Goliath. We've heard the account so many times. But here was David brought to a place where God was going to bring him out and make him, you know, begin to move him toward the throne and make him a public figure. Everybody would know. And there he was coming to the battle, and there was this 9-foot-9-inch champion challenging the Israelites to man-to-man combat, and that's going to determine the course of the war. Now, that's a pretty tall order for someone just to march in there unprepared. And so that's how the army was. They were just scared to death every time he came out. David got there and said, what's the problem? This isn't an earthly battle. David, in the first place, he saw beyond just the earthly, didn't he? He realized these were the heathen gods inspiring these people, but we serve the living God. We serve the one who is on the throne. This is not an earthly battle here. This is his battle. Now, how in the world could David say such a thing? It was faith, obviously. But do you not see how God prepared him for that hour? God just didn't suddenly throw him in the deep end of the pool and say, now, let's do something heroic here. God knows where we're at. God knows where you're at. He's not upset with us. He knows that we're in that place. Jesus commented on their faith and the need for more faith through his disciples. But it wasn't in a tone of disgust. Do you think it was? Yeah, what's the matter with you? I don't think it was that way at all. Rather, it was just pointing out the need and reminding them, God has put us in a situation in this storm, in that one instance where we're going to have to trust what God said rather than what we're seeing and experiencing in the natural realm. But you remember how the Lord brought David to that place and got him ready? Yeah. I remember one time, you know, lions and tigers and bears. There's no tiger in this story. But David's job was keeping the sheep. And there was a faithfulness in it. But David just didn't sit out there and twiddle his thumbs and keep the sheep. There was a relationship going on. He was looking to God, and he was learning how to worship God. He was getting to know God, using that time that he had to be able to learn how to be a good shepherd, a faithful shepherd. And the Lord said, you know, I want to use him down here. I've got a job. I've got a time when I want to really demonstrate who I am, not just to the Philistines, not to the rest of Israel, but to the nations. They're going to hear about this one. And I want to use him in a very special way, but he's not ready. And so the Lord sent a bear. And now David has got some facts to deal with. That bear is bigger than I am. And he's hungry. What am I going to do? And the Lord gave him the faith to deal with the bear. So he had bear faith at that point. He had what he needed to meet that particular need, because there was a willingness to look to God and to keep doing what he knew he was supposed to do, realizing I can't do this in my own strength, but God's with me. God's given me this job, so I'm going to do what I know is right, and I'm trusting God to give me the strength to do it. He doesn't go into that kind of detail, but can you not see that that's what's going on? And so there he was, and he dealt with the bear. And the Lord said, praise God, that's good. And he said, but I still need to give him another lesson. And that's when he sent the lion out, and the same thing happened. And he literally took that lion by the beard. Anybody here ready to do that? Yeah, we can read about it and say, isn't that great? But you know, there are situations God is going to put you and me in where that's about what has to happen. God give us the faith and the strength to be able to rise up and say, This is not the earthly battle. This is God's battle. This is not just circumstances and people coming at me. The Lord has allowed the devil to come. There's an inspiration behind what's going on here. And it is an attack when the devil is trying to take me down and work in me and discourage me and sidetrack me, cause me to try to rely on myself. What are we going to do? Well, David learned in the battle, in the field of real circumstance. He had faith, but he took action based upon that faith, and God backed him up. And so when Goliath came, he was ready. There's probably some Goliaths coming, aren't there? Don't you think? Do you want to be one of those people? Do you have the strength in yourself? I certainly don't. I don't know what's coming. But I know that right now, today, God is going to put you and me in places where we are going to have to take a stand and believe him in the face of whatever circumstances are dictating and seeming to say. May God help us. You know, obviously there's so many examples. I don't want to just drag this out, but praise God. You don't need a sermon. You don't need an oration here. We just need truth that's right where we're at. It's relevant to where you and I are at today. Is this relevant? Is this where you're at? It's where I'm at. We are in circumstances where we need the Lord's wisdom. We need his strength. We need to come to a place where whatever the devil throws at us with anxiety, with trouble, with whatever it is, we can just throw it on the Lord and say, God, I didn't ask for this. And this is not about people. I'm not going to get upset with people. This is not about that. This is you allowing the devil to come at me so that I can grow. Not so I can be defeated, but so I can grow. And so I can take that gift of faith that you deposited in my heart and actually use it. And step out and believe you and seek you and believe your promises, believe your strength, seek you for wisdom and expect it and believe for it and then act on it. We act as though it's true. And of course, I don't mean pretend when I say that. I'll say that for Ron if he's listening. He doesn't like me when I use that word act. But I mean take action in that sense, not to pretend. I mean to take action. as though we really believe. And you know, when David went toward Goliath, he didn't just stand back and say, the battle is the Lord's, this is going to be okay. He went toward the giant, and he didn't just go, he ran. And he declared in his face, you didn't come against flesh and blood. You didn't come against the armies of Israel. You came against our God. This is not my battle. This is his battle. And all David had to do was to use what he had, and God took care of the rest. Do you know that's all God's looking for from you and me? Faith is not some grand thing. It's just exercising what we have and letting God feed it and grow it, because it has got to be the principle by which we live. How else can we get along in this world? How else can we navigate it? And of course, everybody here knows the account of Jehoshaphat. Here was a king over Israel, and it right before that chapter 20, I don't think I'm going to turn there necessarily, but chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, is it? Right before that, you see him doing all kinds of good, honorable things in Israel, trying to set this right and that right, and tell the people that they're rendering judgment in conflicts. Be sure you judge rightly, and all those things. He's trying to be a righteous king. And then what happens? You have an incredibly large army that he suddenly says, they're coming. And I am so blessed that when that happens, I don't see him calling a war council. That would have been the natural reaction to that. Let's get our generals together. Let's have a strategy meeting. Let's figure out how we can deal with this. He didn't do that. He called a fast. Let's get together and pray and simply lay this before God. We did not ask for this circumstance. We didn't do anything to provoke it. We're just here minding our own business. And this happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You go along in your life and you're minding your own business, and suddenly something happens that just comes at you and you have to deal with it? Yeah, that's life. That's called life. And it happens. And God allows it. And God was the one who allowed that army to come. But oh, what an example that is of a king who stands there and prays, and he acknowledges God's goodness, God's greatness, what God has done, what God has promised. And said, Lord, we don't know what to do. And God gave them an answer. And the answer was an amazing one when you think about it from a military point of view. You're not going to even have to fight in this battle. And so you remember how they did. They sent the choir out ahead. You know, one of the things that I thought about, and I know I've made this point many times before, one thing I think we need to be careful of is looking into Scripture and finding and deriving formulas for getting things done, because this is the way it happened in this instance. How many of you know that every instance is different? It's unique. You can't go and say, well, this is what I did, these are the words I spoke, these are the actions I took, therefore this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is going to be the result. God is never going to put his purpose and his plan in our hands through formulas. He is never going to relieve us of being able or needing to look to him and say, God, this is a unique situation. You have sent it. I know it doesn't matter. Thank you for everything you've ever done, but I need to know what to do here and now. You know, I made the semi-humorous point about the different ways that Jesus healed people's eyes. Did he open the eyes of the blind? There were occasions when he spoke to them. There were occasions when he reached out his hand and just touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened. And then there was the time when he stooped down and gathered up some dirt, spit on it, made mud, and put it on the man's eyes and said, go to such and such a pool and wash. And he did, and he was healed. Now, which one is the right way to do it? You know, I've made the point in the past, you've got a basis for three denominations there. The speak the word only, the put your hand out and touch, and the mud in your eye bunch. Folks, there is nothing that's going to relieve us of being in the position where all we can do is stretch forth our hands and say, Lord, this situation allowed by you is unique. You haven't given me a formula. I need wisdom for this. And over again, you see that in Jesus' ministry, this sense of, I'm walking with my Father. I am looking to Him. I don't know what to do necessarily. I mean, this is Jesus basically needing His Father to lead Him. That was the position that He took coming into this world. He didn't know it all as a human being. He needed His Father the same way we do. And there He was looking to His Father every step that He took. And there were those He was trying to teach. Where is your faith? Well, God showed them that here's a situation. I want to bring you to the place where you can handle this, but right now you're not. And I want you to understand. You come into this situation looking at it a certain way, an earthly way. And you've already decided this can't happen, or this can't be, or this is something to be afraid of, or we've got to come up with a plan. And Jesus is just relaxed and saying, Lord, I've cast my burden. Father, I've cast my burden upon you. You've already told me what to do, and we're going to do it and trust you. Doesn't matter what the devil throws in our path. You know, you could go on and on, I guess. And I'm just trusting that this is what the Lord wants to say this morning, but it certainly is to me. But I sense the heart of the Lord saying that you've got a little faith. I brought you a certain amount of distance in me. You've grown in me, and I've got a people that have opened their hearts to me, and they're alive, and they're mine. They're my children. And I love you. And I want you to grow in me. I want to get to the place where you are far more ready to trust in me instead of what you see and what you feel. Because, as I said, I guess I'm repeating myself, but as I said, that's the world that we live in. We're going to need that. Think of the reaction. Now, this was referred to, I think, the other night. Think of the reaction of the believers. What is it, in Acts 4 or Acts 3 or 4, somewhere in there, where they suddenly were being forbidden to preach, beaten. Or at least they were forbidden to preach at that particular time. Anyway, the authorities were absolutely taking a strong stand against any performance of any preaching. Anybody that's talked about Jesus, you're in trouble with us. And they went to the throne and they lifted Him up. Isn't that a pretty good example of what we need to do? How many of you, when you come into a situation that is adverse and circumstances that say no, how many of us will immediately go and wallow in all of that and think about all the ramifications and all the bad things and all that stuff and just get lost in that instead of immediately taking it to the Lord and saying, Lord, you have allowed this, but you're on the throne. And they lifted Him up and they talked about His promises and how in charge He was. Even the death on the cross, you ordained that because you want to accomplish something through it. And Lord, you see the circumstance, and we're looking to you. Our eyes are upon you. And it wasn't, Lord, protect us, hide us in a cave. It was, God, give us a spirit of boldness. This was a positive response to the devil's challenge. This wasn't saying, Mr. Devil, we're going to be quiet. We're not going to bother you anymore. This was standing up in His face and saying, Jesus is Lord. And calling upon people to repent and put their faith in Him. This is God's people being called, being put in a place of standing on the promises of God and looking to Him and exercising. They had to do something, didn't they? They didn't want to sit there and say, I believe, they can't take that away from me. No, this is faith that caused them to want to react and act, and God poured out His Spirit upon them. Yeah. Now, not everything is that outward and dramatic, I guess is the word. But in so many little ways, God is going to take you and me through circumstances, maybe ones that nobody else knows about. There are attacks on our mind. There are things that we're going through, we're having to think about and face. There's circumstances in our homes. There's circumstances involving others that we care about. Lord, we don't know what to do. We need you. We need your help. We need your mercy. But give us the confidence to look past whatever the circumstances are and say, God, but my hope is in you. My trust is in you. And Lord, if there's something I need to do, I'm asking you to show me, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out and believe you when you say something. If you don't say something, I'm going to wait. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. You know the scripture we've heard so many times over the years, who is among you that fears the Lord? Isaiah 50. And obeys the voice of his servant, walks in darkness and has no light. In other words, you're in a place where you don't know what to do. What are they supposed to do? Let them trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon their God. Don't run out and try to do something, but just trust in the Lord. You don't have the light, so don't try to act like you do have the light. But woe to you who kindle your own fire. Walk in the sparks of your fire, the fire you've kindled. This shall you have in my hand, you'll lay down in sorrow. God doesn't put us in situations that say, I'm standing back, you figure it out. He puts us in situations where faith is going to have to trust him. Faith is going to have to trust him when he waits and is silent, when he speaks. Whatever the circumstance is that's right in his plan for your life and mine. Remember, he's the one writing my story and yours. He is going to bring us safely through. And the awesome thing is that, like Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and everything serves a purpose to prepare us for life in this world and in eternity with him. So I just want to trust him this morning. Again, I don't want to be one of those that just is stuck in a place where is your faith? Well, I believe in you, or I believe in this book. I go to church. I believe in you. When God is going to put us in real life situations where faith is going to have to take some kind of an action. It might be an action of just praying and looking, waiting. When your natural reaction is to do something, and God says, no, this is not the time to do. This is the time to wait. Or we're afraid and we don't want to do something, and the Lord said, this is the time to do this. And we're going to have to step out and do it. God can lead his people. Do you believe that? Does that apply to you or just to everybody else around you? See, this is the life that God has called us to. And I don't want to be one that's just stuck in this mode of where is your faith and oh ye of little faith. I want to be one that says, God, increase my faith. And realize that what he's given us, realize his promises are true and he's real and he's with us. And he's going to be with us to the end. So I don't think we've said anything that you haven't heard of, you know, many, many times before, but I don't know. I was going to say, maybe this isn't relevant to everybody else, but it sure is to me. And if it isn't right now, if you're not in that place and things are comfortable, just wait. God is not here to give us a comfortable life where everything just is easy and pleasing to our flesh. God is going to put us in places where everything in our flesh and our circumstances is pushing us in a certain direction. We're going to have to say, no, God, I'm yours. I am willing to do your will, come what may. I'm trusting in you, and I'm going to stand on that, come what may. And I believe that God is going to help us, don't you? So don't be dismayed when he puts you in that place, because he will. If you're his, if he hasn't yet, he will. And I just praise God. I know this isn't some grand piece of oratory, but that isn't what we're after here this morning. We just need something that is relevant to where we're living right now. I need him to lead me, don't you? Then let's ask him, but ask him in faith and realize that he loves you right where you're at. He's not measuring his love for you by the perfection of your performance. He wants us to learn and grow in that area, yes. But his faith, his love, his mercy is based upon his own choice and his own love and all that he's done. He that gave his own son for us, he gave up his own life for us, will he not also give with him also freely give us all things? I'm trying to quote something that just wasn't quite in my mind. But anyway, you remember what I'm saying. Don't get old. But you know, the Lord will take us, old or young or whatever, He'll take us through exactly what He wants. And He'll give us what we need when we need it, if we'll just trust Him all the way home. He is faithful and He is worthy of praise. Praise God.
Praise God. I appreciate this. I'm not going to sing. So don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, Lord. But anyway, I appreciate this morning. And I was thinking it's not just for you, Phil. I think it's for everybody here. We are in places that, you know, it was mentioned Wednesday night about being honest with one another. And, you know, a lot of times we come in with, you know, that commercial. You see people have the smile in front of them. I can't remember what it's about, but they do this, you know, and we all come in with a smile on our face. But we're all in places that God's leading us through. And I thought about this this song, and I'm going to read the words. What God has promised. And I'm going to tell a little story. Every time I think about promises, I think about Brother Enloe, Phil's dad. This was, oh Lord, I don't know. I can't. 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I'm not even sure how long he's been passed away. Time flies so much. But it was one Wednesday night, and I think maybe you and Jimmy were overseas. Maybe visit. I know you wasn't here for some reason. But anyway, he got up and he was reading some scriptures, and his thoughts were a little blurry. He was having some trouble getting it out, and you know, he mentioned about, you know, getting old, you know, that type thing. If you ever want to know where Phil gets his sense of humor from, you needed to hang around his dad. But I got a couple of more stories, but I won't tell them here. But anyway, he made the comment, you know, about getting old and forgetful, and he was struggling a little bit. And he said, you know, he said, my problem isn't standing on God's promises. He said, my problem is remembering them. Oh, Lord. I think some of us are getting to that point now. But anyway, okay, enough carnal. But anyway, I appreciated Phil's dad. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. Because I know if I see him, I'm going to be there. So anyway, all right, but I'm going to read the words here. What God has promised. And I was thinking about what Phil's talking about. You know, it's not always us and Jesus on the Jericho Road. You know, it's not that smooth sailing. You know, there's some rocky roads that we all go through. And I know everybody has gone through trials and tribulations, and it's not easy. But let's read what God, first of all, what God has not promised. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all of our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. Have we all gone through some of these things? You know, we've experienced some peace, but there's been some pain also. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He has not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide, never a mountain, rocky and steep, never a river, turbid and deep. That's what God has not promised. Let's read what God has promised. This is the biggie here. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above. I tell you, he is our help. He's our present help in time of trouble. And I, you know, and it might have been might have been Phil's dad, brother-in-law, that started this. But how many times have we gone through something and we've tried to work it out? Kind of like the formula Phil was talking about. We've done this and we've done that, and it just doesn't seem to be working out. And then we say, you know, and I had to trust the Lord. And I think your dad was one. Alas, has it come to that? You know, that should be the first thing we do. But this human nature, we try to work it out. And we try to make it work, and it doesn't work out. And then finally we have to say, Lord, we need you. I need your help. I can't do this alone. You're going to have to lead me and guide me and help me. You are my strength. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. That's what it finally comes to, but it should be the first thing that happens. So anyway, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Or we could actually say dying love, because he loved us so much, he died for us. So anyway, I just thought about that when Phil was up here speaking to us. I feel like it was the Lord speaking through us this morning. And sometimes it's, I know Phil has mentioned this, a few times. Sometimes it's not, pew jumping, message and stuff like that. But sometimes it's right on the level that we need to hear. And I tell you, this came right down to our level, because we all need to hear this. We all go through things that we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. It's not always easy. And if anybody here, unless you're less than a year old, has had an easy life, I'd like to talk to you, because we have all gone through things. Some have gone through things worse than others. I was thinking about, matter of fact, I was just talking to somebody the other day at work, and we were talking about, trials and burdens and the cross that we carry. And I remember hearing a story, I guess it's a story or whatever, about a man that went to God and was complaining. Said, Lord, my burden, my cross is too heavy to bear. This, I can't bear it. And he said, well, okay, we'll give you some options. So he took him, and there were three doors. And he opened up the first door, and he said, you pick any cross you want. I don't see anything in there. So he went to the second door. No, them pretty big. I don't want them either. Went to the third door, and he saw a cross in there, and he said, I think that's the one I'm going to take. So the Lord said, go get it. So he went and got the cross, and he noticed it was the cross that he normally bears. People go through things a lot worse than we do, and it's a cross that we have to bear. But we all go through things, and I'm glad that God has promised that he's going to be right there with us. Thank God for that. Amen.